Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we will help you keep it running. That's the help we get from Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Dan's with us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you today? Say, it's Father's Day tomorrow. Are you going to be treated like a king, do you think?
You wonder, don't you?
We'll find out tomorrow what happens.
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow. But I would say probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I would say I get my fair share of special treatment when the time is right.
Well, we brought it up before, but you have a few children. But you've how many grandkids do you have now?
You know, we're up to 10 grandkids already.
Wow,
so,
10 of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, when we get the whole family together, we have two full baseball teams. So that's just right.
I bet you are. That's a lot of fun. Well, Dan has helped us out here on CCO for many, many years, and we'll do the same for you. If you have a car care question, we've cleared the lines, and that's what we'll use them for, both the phone and the text line. If you have a car care question, here's the phone number, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Or if you want to see if that's easier, if it is sending us a text with your car care question, do that. 81807. 81807. We had a text. Seems like an unusual time of year, Dan, for this, especially with our heat. But this texter says this. Doesn't say what kind of a car it is. But recently my seat heater started to turn off early, but my heated steering wheel has no issues. They must have a real good air conditioner or something to use that.
You know, my wife leaves her seat heater on all the time because she just likes that warm feeling. So, yeah, that's funny.
But what could be the issue?
Well, you know, the seat heater, of course, has all sorts of safety things built into it, temperature sensors and so forth, so that it doesn't overheat and, you know, cause a fire. Actually, it could cause a problem if it's not working properly. So if one of those safety devices is misreading, if one of those sensors is misreading, then just to save the car, if the computer doesn't have all the information it needs, then the safe thing to do is to shut it off. And that's oftentimes what happens, that it's not getting the information that it needs, so it shuts it off. Yeah. The other thing that happens with seat heaters that we see quite often is if they work intermittently, the seat heater itself is an electric grid that's woven into the fabric and the cushion of the seat. And oftentimes that, you know, over time, and all the flexing of sitting in the seat and getting in and out of the seat, that grid will break or we'll get a short circuit in it. And if it doesn't have a complete circuit all the way through it, then it won't work either.
Is that an expensive repair?
It can be, and it can be a difficult repair because in order to replace that grid in the seat, the upholstery has to come off and the cushion has to be taken apart. So, yeah, it seems like it would be simple, but it really isn't. Getting the upholstery off is sometimes a complicated deal.
I bet. Well, let's go to the phones. We have callers on the line, Dan. Kevin is calling from, I think, Waseca. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is this. I have an 07 Chevy Silverado pickup, and I've lost all four signal lights, my brake lights, and my four-way flashers. Now, what's curious about it is that light behind the cab, when I activate the brake, it comes on. I've taken it to different parts stores, and we've gone through the fuses, and we looked around for a flash or anything. I'm just wondering, does it have a flasher or a module, and where would it be located at, please?
Well, it does have a flasher, but I doubt if that's it. I was just trying to think of what is common with all of the running lights and the brake lights and the turn signal. And I'm thinking that the one thing that they all run through is the turn signal switch on the vehicle itself. So I'm just guessing, though. The way that we would go about diagnosing this would be to go to the wiring diagram itself, look at the information, and then I would know exactly what is common about that. I don't believe that they share a common power. In other words, I think the brake lights and the turn signals, for example, have two separate fuses. So I doubt if it's something on that side, but there is something that's common about all of them that's not allowing the power to run through it, and I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out to be the turn signal switch behind the steering wheel there.
Hmm. Right on the column there?
Yeah, but like I say, the professional way to go about it would be to look at the wiring diagram. Okay. If you look at the wiring diagram, it'll show you what's common about all of them, and that's how we would go about diagnosing
it.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah. All right, Kevin, good luck with that hunt. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Prior Lake right now. Craig is on the line, I believe. Let's see. Hold on here. There's Craig. Go ahead, Craig. Thank you.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Father's Day to both of you.
Thank you.
You got a nice one.
Thank you.
Just a quick question. I got a brake job here about a month or so ago, and I'm getting this rubbing sound periodically now when I when I brake at some stoplights or stop signs and stuff. And I wasn't doing anything like that before. Like I said, I just got the brake job done, rotors, pads, and all that stuff. What should I be looking for? I'll hang up.
Well, you should. You'd be looking with taking it back and having them look at their work, because something's not quite right. You should not hear the brakes when they're working. One thing that commonly happens is when you're doing a brake job, behind the brake rotor is a tin shield, and sometimes that tin shield gets bent or pushed a little bit when they're doing the brake job, and sometimes it's as simple as just readjusting that tin shield from behind. But if the noise is actually coming from the interaction of the brake pads with the brake rotors, then they'll have to do something about that. I'm not sure if it's putting a little different surface pattern on the rotors or what exactly they'll do. But like I say, if it's been more than a week and you're still hearing a noise, I would recommend that you bring it back. And the shop is going to want to see that, because they want you to be safe with the brake job that they did on your car.
Good deal. So, hang on, Dan. We'll take a bit of a break here, and we've got callers in the line yet, and there's one line open if you want to use it for your car care question, 651-989-9226. Or send a text, and we'll pick up on those, too, when we come back. 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive over there. And Dan, we mentioned the Grand Avenue all the time. Give us a location. How do we get in touch with you guys?
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. And you're welcome to stop by any time, including this morning. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call. Our phone number is 651-228-1316.
Excellent. All right. Speaking of phones, let's go back to the phones. We have folks waiting there. Then we'll pick up on some text messages, see who's been waiting. Chuck is calling from St. Louis Park. Chuck, you're on with Dan.
Yes, I have a 2003 Echo with 180,000 miles of standard transmission, and the clutch is slipping. Is there an adjustment on that, or should I just let the car die?
No, you should fix it.
All right.
There is no adjustment on it. It's a hydraulic system adjusts itself, but if the clutch is slipping, it just means that after this many miles, the clutch disc has worn and it's getting too thin. And it's just a matter of pulling the transmission out and putting a new clutch disc and pressure plate in, and you'll be back in business for another 180.
Yeah, absolutely.
Miles.
Yeah.
No, that you know, a worn out clutch is not, unless the rest of the car is done.
Right.
I don't know, but a worn out clutch is no reason to be done with the car if it is still serving you well.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Chuck. Don's calling from Andover with a question. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I've got a 206 F-350, a lot of rust. I think it was probably used as a salt truck at one point. It's got a little dump mechanism in the back. And got a pinhole, rust hole in my gas tank. I wondered what the best way to plug that hole is. I thought about trying to put a screw in there or put some Bondo or something on that. What do you all think?
Well, there's no... you can try all that sort of stuff. Put a screw with a... you know, with a silicone washer on it, like that. But we have had no success with any of that. If the pinhole is higher up on the tank, then just don't fill the tank would be my advice. But I have not come up with, other than renewing the tank, which would be to take the tank out of the vehicle and have the inside of it sealed. I don't think that you're going to have a successful way of repairing the tank itself. Oftentimes, when a tank leaks, like you say, it's got a little pinhole, it's rust that's creating it, and as soon as you start messing around with that spot, you'll find a whole bunch of more spots that are starting to rust through. So my advice would be to get the tank out of the car, which is going to be a challenge in itself because, of course, the rust that you're seeing on the tank is on all of the other components that you need to move to get the tank out. But at any rate, the repair would be to either replace or renew the tank that you have.
All right. Let's go grab some text messages this morning, Dan. 2004 Suburban, transmission will not shift up to the next range. What do you think of that?
I'm sorry, say that again. A 2006?
2004 Suburban. It's the transmission won't shift up to next range.
An 04 Suburban, that's computer controlled. So we can get in there with our scan tool and get the information as to why it's not shifting up. If it's a command issue, oftentimes that's a simple fix, or not a simple fix, but a less complicated fix than a transmission overhaul. If the vehicle is getting all the commands that it's supposed to get and it's not responding properly, then and it turns out to be a mechanical problem, then it's a big deal. So I think the best way for you to get the information that you're looking for is you're going to have to bring it into a shop and get somebody that can interface with your computer and get the information out of there to see what's going on.
Okay. Here's what we're talking about, the rust situation. I think I know what you're going to say. Hi, the texter says, is there a product to use to try and stop the spread of rust on my 2001 SUV? Like you said, it's like once it starts, look out, right?
You know, the trouble is the rust that you're seeing coming through the vehicle, the rust that you're seeing on the outside of the vehicle, oftentimes or probably most commonly starts on the inside of perhaps the fender or the door. And so you start sanding that and you think that you're getting a nice clean surface to prime it, but you're really not, because the rust is actually on the inside of the door and it's coming all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you can, you know, there are lots of products, primers and paints and so forth that say that they will etch the paint and slow the rust. And I believe that would be true, that it would slow the rust. But as far as repairing it, there is not a good way, or there's not a good product that you're going to put on it that's going to stop the rust.
Yeah.
If it's just one little spot, if it's just a door or a fender or something like that, you know, that you can put a new skin on the door or a new skin on the fender and take care of the rust that way.
Okay.
But that's, you know, that's in our climate. That's one of the curses, is that
really is.
Oftentimes the car is still in great mechanical condition, but it's getting so rusty and ugly that people give up on them, and that's the end of it. And of course, once they get rusty, it really hurts the value of the car too.
Right.
So then they're not willing to spend the money to repair it because it just doesn't make economic sense.
All right, Dan, we have to take our bottom of the hour break. Dan will be with us till about 7:45 this morning. So folks on the line, stay there, and the texters will pick up on more of your text messages too after this break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to the Car Care Show here on CCO. Danny, along with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, we'll let you know how to get in touch with him before he leaves us today. Dan, we have callers and texters, many. So let's see if we can't quickly help out these folks. Who's been waiting? Billy in Minneapolis is there. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have an 04 Colorado. It's like 300,000 miles on. And when I stop at like a stoplight, the oil sensor light comes on and that dinging, you know, the chiming dinging. And the only time it shuts off is if I push reset or if I go again. And it's really annoying. And the oil is fine.
Yeah. Well, the miles on it, there's a chance that the oil pressure really is getting that low. So what you need to do is take it into a shop, ask them to put a mechanical gauge on the car and see what the oil pressure really is so that you know whether it's safe to drive or not. If the oil pressure is okay, then the sensor that is in that hole that they're testing at, when they take that sensor out, if the oil pressure is okay, then that sensor is failing and it's not reading correctly, and that's what's causing the light to come on. But if the oil pressure is really low, then there's not going to be a good solution to solve that for you, because it's just appropriately warning you that the oil pressure is low. Mm-hmm. And you know, you need to be careful about that. An engine with low oil pressure is not going to be lubricated properly, and the life of the vehicle will be short term. So, but it would be worth spending the money to take it in and find out if the oil pressure is okay or not. If it is okay, then that sensor is actually pretty cheap, so it would be a simple repair then.
We had a text message. Speaking of oil or oil pressure, we had I think it was a good question. It was a VW 2005 VW diesel about overfilling the oil, maybe by a quart. But as far as that vehicle or any vehicle, what kind of damage can be caused? What can happen if you overfill the oil?
Well, a short-term damage, nothing. I mean, if you overfill it and you discover it and you just let a little bit of oil out, it'll be just fine. But, overfilling the oil, it's the crank or the engine is designed to have a certain level in the oil pan. And if that gets too high, then the oil actually gets into the mechanism of the vehicle and starts to mess or, you know, interrupt the operation that is going on in there. The stuff that's turning that's not supposed to be have oil bathing in it causes a problem, and it'll cause performance problems, and the oil can get sucked in through some vacuum stuff. Things like that can happen. So like I say, if it happens and you've been driving it and you discover it, simply let a quart of oil out of it, and it should be fine.
Okay.
But no, you do not want to overfill a crankcase. It's not designed to run on more oil than normal, and it's not good for it, so do not do that.
Okay. Scott is calling from Maple Grove with a question. Go ahead, Scott. Dan's listening.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. Hey, I've got a 2013 Jeep Patriot with a 2.4-liter CVT engine. And I can't figure out why it fights me, why my transmission seems sluggish when I try to accelerate, from a stop. Seems like I'm the last car to catch up with the pack after a green light. I've had all the spark plugs replaced, all the coils replaced. I have not gotten any compression testing or things like that. But is this something that's common with that type of an engine? Or can you think of a reason why my transmission would be fighting? It almost seems like it's trying to shift back down rather than shift up. Any ideas that you have would be great.
I haven't heard anything specific to that vehicle, but one thing that you could do that I didn't hear that you have done would be to take the vehicle into the shop and have the codes checked for both the transmission computer and the engine computer. And if there are no codes stored in either, then the vehicle thinks that it's operating just fine. If there is nothing, if a brake is not applied or if something like that, if there is no particular resistance, maybe what's going on here is you just have a vehicle that's a little underpowered for the weight and size of the vehicle, and you'll just have to live with it the way it is. But I would start with checking and seeing if there's any codes. If there's anything significant going on with the vehicle, it would flag a code in either the engine or transmission computer, and that would be a good place for you to start.
What? One more call, Dan. Let's see, Butch is calling from Waconia. Go ahead, Butch. What's your question? Hello, Butch.
Hello.
What's your question, Butch?
I got a 2006 Nissan Altima with a 2.5. We had an engine light come on, and it's been a little while. They told us at the dealership that it was the catalytic converter and that would need to be replaced, which I kind of understand. But he said there was also a catalyst or something under the manifold. It's been using a quart of oil for every 1,000 miles for quite a long time. It's got 170,000 on it. And I'm just wondering if you think the engine would have to be replaced or we can just get away with replacing those two items, the catalytic and whatever's under the manifold.
Well, the consumption of oil is hard on the catalytic converters. So I'm not sure that long term it would make sense to put the catalytic converters in, because I'm afraid the oil consumption is just going to ruin the new converters. So if the vehicle is operating fine the way it is right now with that many miles on it, maybe you just want to live with the catalytic converter problem. And see how it goes. But I'm afraid that if you put the converters in, it'll be a waste of money, because you'll just ruin the new ones.
Not good. Dan, we are out of time. And I've printed out some text messages we did not get to. Let's start the show next week with those. What do you say?
That sounds great. I'll be in studio next week.
Well, you'll be in studio, and you'll also be with Steve Thompson, because I will be on a Good Neighbor tour to Utah.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. That sounds great for you and me. I love working with Steve. I haven't seen him for a while.
Well, you have a chance. By the way, as we head out of here, happy Father's Day to you, Dan, tomorrow.
Thank you, Denny. You too. You've done a good job in that department.
Thanks very much, Dan. We'll get another doctor's opinion of that. But thanks. Have a great week, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, 228-1316 with a 651 area code. Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.